Welcome back to the Cardinals Cast podcast. We've got a new season in St. Louis, and thus we are going to record another episode of the Cardinals Cast podcast.
Sounds right.
With me is Javier.
Hey, is this our season two, I guess?
Yeah, this is our season two. We got renewed.
Season two, episode one. Love it.
Yep. So I think we're going to start off with talking about the new rules in baseball with the pitch clock, the banning of the shift, and the slightly bigger bases.
Mm-hmm. Which one do we want to start off? That's, you know, obviously the three big ones.
I would start off with the pitch clock. I think it's the most talked about rule change, and I think it'll have the biggest impact on the game.
Yeah. From what I've seen in spring training, it has been doing a really good job at getting rid of the dead time, which I think was part of the main issue and reason for it. And it doesn't seem like there have been too many complaints between the players and the pitchers themselves, because they both seem to enjoy the fact where it's like, as soon as I'm ready, we can go. And obviously it has been making the games shorter. This is a little bit of an anomaly, but most games now for spring training are averaging about 2.5 hours, but there was one game that was only like 2 hours and 7 minutes. Like, it was almost just a straight 2 hour game, which is crazy. But I mean, that shows that it's working. At least for the sense of what they were thinking of at the moment.
Yeah. And we'll see if it changes, because I know sometimes in spring training they just try to keep it going, and, you know, it's like, you know, you don't really care if you win or lose. You're just trying to get your reps in and trying to get built up.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it affects the regular season. But for now, it seems like it has impacted the game fairly significantly and in a positive way.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a positive way. And I think they said in the beginning that they're open to tweaking it and changing it if they have to, if need be, whether making it more time or a little bit less. But even if they add like 5 seconds to each, you know, even if it's like 20 seconds without runners on base and 30 seconds with runners on, I still think even that will still make it a better and easier. And honestly, I've been having a lot of fun watching the game when the pitch clock is happening, because, you know, you see the timer going down.
Yeah.
And the one, I've only seen one violation, but the one violation I saw, I was like, oh. And it was, that was honestly kind of fun, being like, he messed up. But yeah.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, it's 15 seconds with no runners on for the pitcher, and the batter has to have 2 feet in the box with 8 seconds left. And then with runners on, you have to, it's 20 seconds.
Yeah. And then there's also, it's kind of attached to the pitch clock. The batter gets one timeout per at bat. And then after that, they just pretty much have to be ready the entire time. The pitcher is allowed 2 disengagements, they call it, which can either be just stepping off and, like, you know, regrouping yourself, or it could be a pickoff attempt. Now, if the runner advances during one at bat, the disengagements reset for the pitcher. But after 2 disengagements, you'll see the umpires like indicating, hey, that's been one, or that's been 2 disengagements. The third one, if there is a pickoff attempt, you have to get the runner out, or else they just, it's called a balk. And then runner obviously gets to advance. So.
Yeah. And if you don't pitch it within the 15 seconds, they're going to call a ball on you. And if the batter's not in the box, he gets a strike on him.
Yeah.
So
I think last season in the minors, because they were using this in the minors last season, Paul DeJong was in Memphis and he got struck out with only two pitches being thrown at him because the third strike was called because he wasn't ready. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. No, that ended an entire game, I think, here in spring training. I think it was like the bottom of the ninth. It was bases loaded.
Yeah.
And the batter got called for a violation and it ended the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't see that. Like, hopefully that doesn't happen. And it shouldn't happen because that is a horrible way to end the game.
Yeah. But I don't know if they're going to make like a contingency, like you can't end a game with a pitch clock violation. Or if we just might not even necessarily see it, if the players are already in the rhythm enough, we'll see. I don't really know what will happen there.
And we'll see, like in the last two innings or something, or in the playoffs, they'll just not have it or something because it's like more important or something. But we'll see.
Mm. I know they nixed the ghost runner rule for the playoffs this season. I don't know if they're going to do that, or last season. I don't know if they're going to do that this season because I know that that rule is staying in effect this season. For extra innings, you get a runner in scoring position. So I don't know. Yeah, the postseason obviously is a while away. They have plenty of time to fix it and nick it and work out kinks and bugs, but... I think overall it has been a good positive thing for pace of play and for getting it in rhythm and watching baseball has been a little bit more of an enjoyable experience because with only being just roughly about 2.5 hours, I feel like you can schedule watching a baseball game a little bit better in your time zone now because back in, I remember last season, multiple times over the summer, my mom was like, hey, I want you to do your chores now because I'm going to lose you for about 3 to 4 hours when the baseball game starts. And I'm like, I got you. So I think it's been a more enjoyable experience. And even at the ballpark, I think it'll be more enjoyable. This just popped in my brain. Obviously, people are still going to be walking around buying food and stuff. But now with less dull time, I don't know if that's going to affect the revenue that the ballparks make with like food and drinks, because if most people are going to stay in their seats and watch the game, I don't know how that's going to affect the economy of that, but that's probably not.
I know like some teams will like stop selling certain like foods or beverages after like the fourth inning or something. So maybe they'll just get rid of that and, keep selling until the end of the game.
Just having it. Yeah. Except for beer. Beer stops at the seventh inning. But yeah, overall, I think the pitch clock has been good. I haven't seen the only thing I've seen with the shift rules is that I do think that there have been more balls in play for the sake of like the pull lefties, especially. I know there was a picture with Joey Gallo in an at-bat where because the shift rules only involve the infield, they just totally decided to just get rid of left field, and they put the left fielder in the shallow right spot. So unfortunately for Joey Gallo, I guess he's not immune to that. But that team, I don't remember who it was, but that team was just totally getting rid of left field. All he had to do was hit a pop-up in the left field, and he would get on base. So, I mean, I guess the MLB might let that happen for it's like your prerogative if you just want to leave left field entirely open or if they might mess with the outfield too. I don't know. Other than that one instance, though, I have not seen too many issues with the no shift. Obviously, teams are still, putting somebody as close to second base as you can without making it a problem. If there is, better stats on the guy pulling. But the no shift, I don't think has been honestly that bad or really that talked about most of the time. Other than just sometimes every now and again, I'm passed to remind an infielder like, hey, you got to keep both of your feet on the dirt. But I haven't seen too many issues with that. And the bigger bases, I know obviously people like to complain, but like the bigger bases have not caused an issue in my opinion at all. It is mostly for player safety and one of the big things about the no shift is getting more balls in play and more movement on the bases. And if the bases are bigger, that inclines you to run more, steal more bags. You know, the difference between safe and out is bigger now. So if you have a runner on base, that creates that drama. So I honestly, the bigger bases, mainly for safety, I think has been a positive effect for this, just the game in general, because then it has more people on base, and that causes that drama that causes what is fun about baseball with the cat and mouse game. So far, all the rule changes have been very positive, in my opinion. I haven't seen too many issues.
Yeah. I think it'll take until like the end of the season to get like to tell like the full impact of, especially the shift rule, because then you can see how numbers changed year over year with averages and the amount of singles and stuff. So, but yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Shifting over to Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn. Both of them are playing like they want a roster spot, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jordan has two home runs now. I think he just hit one today, like right before we started. And then Mason hit a freaking 435-foot. I mean, everybody knew it, but holy cow, he hit that hard. And he's been playing pretty good defense too. Obviously that arm, 99, basically 100 miles an hour at one point in a spring training game already. I definitely think that Mason is still about like one more year out from breaking the big leagues. He might be a call up in like fall, or whatever, or if there's like crazy injury or something, he might get called up sooner. You never know. I think Jordan Walker actually has a very good chance of breaking camp, especially with the fact that he's going to be obviously being an outfielder and he's doing well. He's got like a, 350 something average so far. Yeah. And with, Lars Nootbaar being in Japan for the WBC, Tyler O'Neill is eventually going to be with the Canada team. He's going to have way more starting spots on spring training games coming up to the season. So he's going to get way more reps. He's going to, show to the front office what he's doing now. He might not be on the starting lineup for the first, like maybe in the beginning of the season, but I definitely think he's going to be in St. Louis as a St. Louis Cardinal on the 40 man by opening day. I think he's got the talent, and I think they're going to bring him up early. A lot of people are saying he's already, one of the best candidates for Rookie of the Year. And the best way that he can win Rookie of the Year is that if he's called up early and he has a pretty full season under his belt. I don't think he has any like injury trouble either, at least so far. He is only 20. So he's, and his body's young and healthy. So
I think that if they're going to call him up, they're going to play him, right? They want him to win Rookie of the Year. If he can, they're not going to take anything away from him if he's playing well.
Yeah. And it would be, I think, smart as well, because if he is helping offensively, like he's been showing in spring training, that's going to be a big thing. Obviously, the Cardinals' offense is stacked with Arenado, Goldschmidt. Yepes is going to be a good DH. If Tyler O'Neill can be healthy, he'll be good. But if not, honestly, Jordan Walker might just take that spot for that big power bat in the outfield. Lars Nootbaar, we saw what he could do. Wilson Contreras as a catcher now, that 9 or 8 spot is way better. So our entire lineup at this point can easily hit. And we have a very good balance of our contact guys like Edmund and Donovan with our power guys. So I do really think he's going to get a lot of playing time, especially in like June and July. I feel like those might be a very Jordan Walker summer for Cardinals baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shifting over to the WBC, the World Baseball Classic. So if you haven't heard of the WBC, it's sort of like the World Cup for baseball with like a bunch of countries having their own teams. So the Cardinals have 13 players from their 40-man on a team. I'll just run through a list of them. Genesi Cabrera is on the DR. Giovanni Gallegos is playing for Mexico. Miles Michaelis for the U.S. Andre Pallante is playing for Italy. Jojo Romero is playing for Mexico. Adam Wainwright is playing for the U.S. Guillermo Zuniga is playing for Colombia. Ivan Herrera is playing for Panama.
Yeah.
Nolan Arenado is playing for the U.S. Tommy Edman is playing for Korea. And Lars Nootbaar is playing for Japan. And O'Neill is playing for Canada.
Wide array of countries, too. All over the place.
Yeah. So if you're questioning why
good for them.
Edmund is playing for Korea, it's because his mother was born in South Korea, and Nootbaar can play for Japan because his mother is Japanese. So, you know, they have some certain rules for...
they have certain eligibility rules. Like, my mom's from Puerto Rico. I could be on the Puerto Rican team. And I think Tommy Edman is the first non-Korean born, like, in Korea to be on the Korean team, which is really cool. Now, I think he literally might be the only one on the team who doesn't speak Korean, which might be a little awkward, but
yeah.
Tommy Edman is pretty much my favorite baseball player at the moment right now. And I would continue to say all time, just because I just love the way he plays. And also Brandon Donovan has worked his way easily into that, my top five, too, top three, even maybe. So I'm going to be rooting basically for all the countries that people are in. Obviously the United States, go USA. I love them. Puerto Rico too. But seeing Lars Nootbaar playing with Shohei Ohtani in Japan is going to be awesome. And Tommy Edman playing in Korea is just, I think I love the WBC. I think it's fantastic. I think it really grows the game because it shows off that other countries are just as, like, you know, baseball, at least I feel like in a European sense, is a very, like, American game. But this tournament shows that all these other countries out here have just as good of players all over the place. I mean, the Dominican Republic itself is favored to win the entire thing because from 1 to 9, they just have like a bunch of all-stars on their team. Yeah. Like with Julio Rodriguez, you have Vladimir Guerrero, except I heard something that Vladdy got a little bit hurt maybe, so he might not be on the roster. Mm. But even then, their bench was really good too. So, it's going to be fun. I'm excited. And I love seeing the different culture of baseball, especially I saw a whole video about this. I wasted 25 minutes when I should have been doing homework watching this video. It was about baseball in Korea. Oh my gosh, the fans get so, it's so loud. They have like instruments, they're banging on drums. It's kind of like a soccer game that you see elsewhere, except it's baseball.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So just a note here, they'll be airing the WBC on Fox Sports. And the new rules that we just talked about will not be in effect for the WBC. So there'll be no pitch clock and there'll be no banning of shifts.
Yeah. Which is interesting to me. I get it because obviously the new rules are for Major League Baseball. They don't obviously imply the KBO or the Japanese leagues or any other leagues, which is why I get that they're not doing the rules. But also for a lot of the major leaguers who are going in, I don't know how that's going to maybe affect them or if they're going to like try to pretend like there's a pitch clock. Obviously, you can't pretend the bigger bases, and you probably won't stop doing the shift if you still can. But I don't know if they're going to in the box and pitching still try to, you know, get that rhythm of like, I only have 20 seconds so that by the time Major League Baseball does come around, they're still in a good rhythm in that. So I'm interested to see how that'll go. I'm not too terribly worried about it though. I think it'll be fine. I think they'll adjust well.
Yeah. That'll be fun to watch.
It'll be great. Great fun to watch. But speaking of watching baseball, it's going to be tough for about like half the teams in the league right now, because I believe Bally Sports is either already bankrupt or they're filing for. So
they're on their way
out. Yeah. So how are we going to watch? What are we going to do?
So I think we're assuming that the MLB is going to basically start broadcasting games either through like MLB TV or some sort of service. Like, hopefully this will get rid of blackouts and you can just buy a pass to watch like all the teams without blackouts. But I think no matter what, you're going to be able to watch all the games. I don't think there's any way that like the Cardinals are just going to skip out on that money.
Of course not. Yeah. I'm just interested to see how MLB is going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause like, if you pay for cable or whatever,
what,
you know, if you pay for it, like if you pay for cable and you get like Bally Sports on your cable or whatever, that would kind of, I don't know. It would rub me the wrong way if I would have to pay a whole separate fee to watch baseball if they did that. So I don't know if they're going to like create a new network or something.
Yeah, we'll see. And I also think like the Cardinals could just create their own network, kind of like the Cubs and the Yankees have done, like Marquee and Yes Network. So they could just air their own stuff. I don't know how you – is that through cable? Is that a cable thing?
I think so. I think – I mean, but I don't live in Chicago or New York. It might be on air thing. Let me just do a quick Google search while you're talking here. I'm on my computer anyway. The Yes Network.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, it's also...
It's also streaming?
Oh, no. Yeah, never mind. It's just... Is it? I think it's also basketball, too. Yeah, I think it's just New York sports in general. Which St. Louis could easily do that, obviously, with the Blues and St. Louis City, who won their first soccer game, their inaugural soccer game. Good for them. I lost my voice watching the game. I was hoarse the very next day, and they kick off their home opener tonight, actually, at 7:30 on the day of this recording. So good for them. Yeah. Good to see St. Louis sports going well.
Yeah, I think you can watch that on
I think it's just a cable TV. Thing.
What?
Yeah, it's on the MLS season pass. Yeah,
on Apple TV. Yeah.
I have opinions about it, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. So I was like, we have Apple TV. We can watch that. But then it's a whole other.
It's a whole separate thing.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So, it's lame. That's what it is. It's lame. Like, oh, gosh. Yeah. I was very disappointed with that. So the first game was free because it was like opening weekend. But now I'm going to just figure it out. We'll see. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's soccer, so good for them. But, yeah, I think the Cardinals and St. Louis might be able to just come up with a St. Louis sports network like Yankees have done and just have the Blues, Cardinals, and both footballs that we have now, because the Battle Hawks are back too.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So you could do everything all at once. And, I mean, I'd buy a package for that if I can get all of it. That's a that's a deal in my opinion that I'm all for. But yeah, I mean, I don't think we're gonna not have baseball. They're gonna do their best to make it happen because baseball, especially now, I think is currently on its upslope of growth again. It's becoming
hopefully
more and more prominent again, you know, with, especially with the big names like Shohei and Aaron Judge. And I think it's on its uptick again in popularity. And so it would be a huge step, not even a huge step. It would be a fall in the wrong direction if for some reason not all the baseball games would be able to be broadcast just because of network issues and internal things. Yeah. So it's, I don't know how Rob Manfred's going to deal with this, or who he's going to appoint. He's not going to personally be dealing with it. Probably he's going to appoint people, but he's got to appoint the right people to be able to fix this problem and make it accessible. So they don't want to lose money on that. So it's even a business thing, but I think we'll definitely have baseball, by the time, Major League Baseball comes around. I just got a notification that Jordan Walker just hit another 2-run home run in spring training. So he's been doing good. Jordan Walker's been doing good.
Yeah. He's crazy.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I don't think I've seen like a Cardinals rookie that has been talked about since he's been in the minors and then call up and like make a difference. I think since Albert Pujols, you know, because Albert Pujols was the big name and he called up and he was obviously just insane. I think, and like you hear it about other teams, you know, like other teams, you heard about Julio Rodriguez before he got called up. But now we have that guy. We have the person that people are talking about. Yeah, he could be Rookie of the Year. Yeah, that is so exciting.
You heard about Adley last year, Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
And then
all over the place. So I am really excited for Jordan Walker coming up. Does it make me mad that he's the same age as I am and he's going to be playing Major League Baseball? A little. I'm by no means as good, but I am at the point in my life, still very young, but I'm at the point in my life, and my uncle was talking to me about this, where from this point on, basically, when I'm watching professional sports, I'm going to most likely, other times than not, sometimes be older than the people playing. Even in the first game of Major League Soccer, there was a young player named Miguel Perez from St. Louis, but he's only 17 years old, you know, casual 17-year-old Major League player. That's okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I do. I love it, though. I love sports. I love it.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna give our overall predictions for the season right now because we got the games coming up. So
yeah, about a month away from opening day. Yeah. I think, or less than that.
So Vegas has set the over and under at 88.5 wins. Would you say
kind of low?
Yeah, I think I would go over on that.
I would go over. I see the Cardinals winning at least 90, so at least two more than Vegas said. But honestly, if things with the team that I'm seeing and it's your Jordan Walker being good and all the other things, I really think that the Cardinals could have a 100-plus win season.
I really would not go that far.
You want to go that far?
I would say.
I'm going 100-plus wins, and this is – what is today? Today is March 4th of 2023. Okay, I'm marking my bet in. We'll see how it pans out at the end of the season.
Yeah. I'm saying they win 95 – games at the max. I think their starting pitching is gonna kind of suck.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Montgomery isn't going to play as well as he did last year. I think Jack Flaherty is going to have a slow start. I think Adam Wainwright is going to be kind of scary because his fastball velocity has just completely eroded. I think they're going to have to trade for some more pitching, and if they don't get much, they're going to have to rely on their offense and their defense.
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to have to trade for more pitching. I honestly can see Jack Flaherty maybe coming back a little bit. But the starting pitching is something, because like we have, I would say, I still think Jordan Montgomery is going to have a good season. Maybe not as good as last year, but I still think he's going to be good. But really, the only two pitchers that I would trust are Miles Mikolas and Jordan Montgomery. Adam Wainwright is, you know, he maybe, I don't know, he can pull a rabbit out of his hat, maybe. But it's just, you know, Father Time. We'll see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. And the other two bigger names that we have, and Jack Flaherty and Steven Matz, haven't really seen a lot of them, either of them.
Yeah.
So you can't put your real money on anything that you haven't seen. That would be a very faith-based thing. But I think that it might come together. And those are just the major league guys right now. I mean, obviously there's still a whole nother month before. I am hoping there might be some minor league pitcher that is good enough to make an opening day roster that we might not talk about a lot, but can get the job done. So I think we'll be okay. We're definitely winning the division. But at this point, in my opinion, with what the Cubs did in the offseason, and they still have Seiya Suzuki, and now they have Dansby Swanson, and I honestly think that the Cubs betting a little bit with Cody Bellinger, I think it's going to work out for them. I really do. I think that this season it's going to be a Cubs-Cardinals top two battle maybe for the NL Central. I don't think the Brewers are in the talk anymore. They kind of have been on the downslope for a while. Yelich not doing what he was supposed to do for a while already, and they kind of got rid of, you know, Josh Hader and the pit. Yeah, I don't know. The Brewers
got rid of Colton Wong.
Yeah, got rid of Colton Wong. I don't know. The Brewers are kind of on the downslope right now, in my opinion. I still think there may be a third place team, but I'm not going to put them over. Like, in my opinion, I think it's going to go Cardinals, Cubs, Brewers, Pirates, Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not moving anywhere from the bottom. Unfortunately, Cincinnati, they need to get their act together. And by getting their act together, it means probably selling the team to a better ownership group. But
yes.
The Pirates, I'm putting them in fourth behind the Brewers. But I would laugh out loud. I would laugh. And honestly, I would love if for some reason the Pirates with Andrew McCutchen and their younger guys or whatever somehow get into third place and beat the Brewers. I would laugh. Will that happen? Yeah. I don't think so, but I think it would be so funny.
I mean, I think it could. They're a more exciting team than the Brewers. I mean,
the Brewers are one of the Brewers and the Dodgers are some of the most boring teams ever, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And oh my gosh, the Dodgers are not going to be good either. Gavin Lux.
Well,
he tore his ACL. Do you see that?
Yeah, I heard about it.
The Dodgers were not going to be good anyway. And then one of their bigger names in spring training is now out for the whole season because he tore his ACL running the bases. I don't feel bad for Dodgers fans, but it's basically
the Padres. Yeah, but they're still the Dodgers. They're still going to win 90-plus games, make the playoffs.
I don't know, man. So, I would not have the Dodgers going to the playoffs.
I think they're just trying to get Shohei, and they're just saying this is a down year.
I forgot. Yeah, Shohei is going to be a free agent. Yeah, that could be a thing. That could be a thing. But yeah, I think it's going to be another good season for the Cardinals. And I think it's going to be another fun season. Last year, we were having a good season, and we had a fun season with Albert and Yadi's final ride. And Albert hitting 700, the home run chase. It was fun to watch. And I think this year, with Jordan Walker going to get called up and just having the good team and having a mix of these, like, we're a pretty young team when you think about it in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. We do still have those veterans, but we still also have a lot of young teams. Like, Tommy Edmund is a veteran, and we talk about him as a veteran because he's so good. But Tommy Edmund's rookie season was like 2019. He's pretty young, and Brendan Dodd, like, we're a young team, and young teams are fun. I am like going to have so much fun watching this team. I know. Look at Seattle. Julio Rodriguez, one of the bigger names. I mean, Miami, honestly, can be a fun team this year, too. Maybe not necessarily good, but Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a fun player to watch. I think that people are going to go to Busch Stadium, watch it on TV, and are not only going to see good quality baseball, but they're going to have fun watching. It is going to be an entertaining event, and I'm excited. I'm ready for the warm weather. I'm ready for the sun, and I'm ready for baseball.